Well, before we get into the message, I want to share about the two different trips that we were on. The first one, we appreciate your patience with us as we got done preaching and took off right away. We made it on time to Texas. Miss Pam picked us up, and we went to the hotel, checked in, and went straight to the church there. Pastor Hal preached. I will say it was very honoring. There were things that how he honored Michelle and I in his message both Sunday and Monday morning. But meeting this conference, there a lot of times when we would go in the past, we were missionaries, and now as pastors, we had a lot of different conversations. But one of the praise be to God for us coming back as missionaries. That church they didn't just drop us; they continued to support us until we got hired on here as the youth pastors, and we talked to them a lot. And he wanted us to know that a lot of those conversations, it really helped them develop their protocol for missionaries. And so the mission director there thanked Michelle and I for working with them and helping them be able to develop that, what they're doing, because they support a lot of missionaries down there. The other thing that we were able to do is Pastor Hal and Pam and Michelle and I, we had this like interview type deal, and we talked about the transition, and it was really a blessing. I would say Grace Church was represented in a great way. A lot of us, we were kind of feeding off each other, and I think it was only supposed to be like 45 minutes, and it ended up being like 2 hours. So it was really good. But we just talked about the reason this transition was so well was because of you. And that you honored and supported Michelle and I, but also you honored and supported Pastor Hal and Pam, and just how great and supportive Grace Church is. And so we will like to applaud you for what you have done. So we have the other thing. We went to Mexico, and we were there for, and I'd like to share that now. We went there for 5 days, and the 5 days we were there, we preached the gospel 5 different times in 5 different locations. We went to go see Isaac Villanueva and then his mom. There are 2 different missionaries we were supporting, and then we went over to see Jerry and Rachel Witt. And we went in, and Isaac picked us up from the airport in Monterrey, and it must be a thing with me, because as soon as he picked us up, we raced to the church, and I mean, they were playing the music time. We walked in, had a good response there. A lot of people raising their hands to respond to that message. But then afterwards, that pastor is in the middle of a transition where he's passing the baton to his son. So I was able to meet with them afterwards and talk to them a little bit, encouraging them. The next morning, Michelle and Sarah Villanueva, she works with pastor's wives, and so she had Michelle do a brunch. It lasted a couple hours, but she was able to minister to 9 pastor's wives, talking about our identity and finding a word from God. And then that night, Isaac took us about an hour away to another church where he was hoping to have about 4 or 5 actually churches all combined together. One church didn't make it, which, honestly, the 4 churches that were there, every seat was filled. They had the door open. People were even standing out into the streets waiting for that. And that message was about support and how important it is for the church to support the pastors. I called the pastors up and had them up at the altar and had the people come up and lay hands and pray on them. One pastor down on his knees just weeping because his people had never prayed over him and he felt the support. So again, I thank you for your prayers and what you have done for Michelle and I, with Pastor Hal and Pam in this transition. Then on Friday, we traveled from Monterrey to Durango, and Isaac Villanueva passed us over to Jerry and Rachel Witt. Jerry and Rachel are very longtime friends of Michelle and I. When we went to the first conference we went to, we saw all these older missionaries. We saw all these older pastors meeting together, and we felt like strangers. And we said, you know what? We got to make friends so that way we can have a bond. We can have accountability like these older people. So let's find someone young. And so we went and saw Jerry and Rachel. It was us and them. It was about the only young missionaries that we had. And just walked over and I said, "You're going to be our friend. We need each other, and we're gonna bond." And it's been that. It's been very good. We pray for each other all the time. And so Saturday night we went to Jerry's mom's house, where she has a home for girls. And what she does is she empowers indigenous women, breaking cycles of children having children by offering a free and safe place to live while finishing their education. And I will say these women, they're actually really are our children. They're like 13 and 14 years old and are moms and are married, and so they're trying to break that cycle there. And then it came to Sunday. We didn't really know what was going to happen on Sunday. And Jerry and Rachel, they started a church about 10 years ago after his plane crashed and changed his ministry. And so he started a church and raised up a pastor there. And there was an opportunity for him to take another church and start leading that church. And we didn't know what we were going to be doing while we were there. And the opportunity was that Sunday, they stepped into that lead role. And so he said, you know, I was going to translate for you when you're at that church, but would Guillermo be willing to translate for you? And I said, I'm pretty certain Guillermo is already doing, and he'll do anything. And I would like to, for the Rodriguez family, I'd like for you guys to stand, please. Yeah, I know you guys don't like doing this, but... Yeah. I just wanna honor your dad. He did a fantastic job. Every church we went to, I joked that I was gonna have him get up and share his testimony. The very first church, they said, Guillermo, get up here and share your testimony. I think I heard him walk by me. I guess I'm doing this. So he did great. And I, just because you can speak a language, it doesn't mean you can translate a language, and it's a lot difficult. And he was able to translate for me on Sunday while Jerry and Rachel were about 45 minutes or an hour away. The whole church stood in response to that message. The pastor actually came up to him and said, you know, I have never asked for a response at a church like Pastor Ben just did. I'm going to do it every Sunday now. So it was a really good time. From there, we raced to Jerry and Rachel's new church and then did a leadership training for probably about a third of their church that showed up. It was about 40 or 50 people. So that's, I just wanted to explain all of that because you're going to watch a video so you can see some of those things. The church, the video is going to stop and it's going to play a song that there was during our worship time in that church. That's the church that Guillermo translated for us, and the whole church stood in response to that message. So you can enjoy the video. I give all glory to God and I praise him, and I'm overwhelmed with these opportunities that I get. And this is, like I've shared last week, this was the fourth country that I've been able to preach the gospel in and leading people to have a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm honored to be able to be used in that way. And it was really great to see Guillermo shining in a big way. And this is what we are here for. We're meeting weekly, we're meeting in all these different things because Grace Church is committed to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. We do this by gathering in fellowship to grow through discipleship, to go and serve the body. We are gathering which leads to opportunities to grow, which prepares us to be able to go in all areas of the world, but it has to start right here at home. It has to start. We have to be able to develop those opportunities here before able to go out and speak the gospel there. Well, today we are continuing this series in Is It Growing? We're focusing on the parable of the sower out of Mark chapter 4. We're looking at the perspective of the sower. So if you have your Bibles with you, you can open them up to Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 8, and then we're going to jump down to 14 through 20 as we read the explanation of that parable. It starts off with Jesus saying, "Listen," so I'd like to pray. God, I pray that you help us to have ears that can hear your word and listen to what you are saying. Give us a heart that is wanting and willing to obey. I ask you, God, to prepare us for the message today. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 8. It says, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." Then go down to verse 14. The explanation of it is the farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like the seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no roots, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word. For other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Last week, we looked at the perspective of the seed. Next week, we're going to be looking from the perspective of the soil. Today's focus is on the sower. And I believe that there are four things the sower needs to produce a crop that will be some 30, some 60, some 100 fold of what was planted. The first thing is the sower needs to be diligent. He needs to be diligent. It says the parable starts off by stating that the sower went out to sow his seed, which was the word of God. You see, it means that for him to go and sow his seed, it means he had to have the seed in him to go out and sow. So I encourage you, my brothers and sisters, please plant this seed into your heart so that it can grow and be able to go and spread to other people. I want to encourage you to read the word of God. For us to be able to have that seed to go and spread it, we have to be able to read that word. So daily we should be reading his word. So please get involved in any kind of reading plan that works for you. A lot of us here at Grace Church, we are using the SOAP Bible reading plan. And what it does, it tells you what scriptures to read each day, and you can journal. And it talks about you journal what scripture stood out to you. Then you write you journal about an observation about that scripture. Then you journal about an application, and then you journal about a prayer. I've shared this before. Michelle and I have been doing this for 12 years now. And the great thing is we can look at the progress in our life. We can look at the growth in our life when we look back at years to come, at previous years, and saying, wow, look at God has worked in us. And look at the growth in our faith because we've been journaling using this SOAP reading plan. So if you have any questions, you can come and ask me about it. You can ask the staff. You can ask the leadership team, the life groups, where a lot of us are using this to lead one another. You also can get on our website at graceweb.tv. It's on our app at Grace Church Fairview app. It will show all the daily reading things. You see, though, when we continually read his word, the more and more we become like Christ, and the more and more we see confirmations. We can see his hand. We can see things moving. I'll just give you this really quick example. Last week, March 4th, I was reading Mark 11. And if we were reading the soap, we were reading Mark 11. And it's when where Jesus tells us, if anyone says to the mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt, then it will happen. That day, I journal about that. I wrote the scripture. I wrote observation, application, and prayer. And then that day, we were at that conference. We went, and there was a minister there. And his main point was Mark 11, about the mountains and about the roots that are in our lives that we need to be able to cast out into the sea. And it was very confirming for me because I had already read that chapter, and it was already in tune to what he was saying. See, so we are diligently gathering in fellowship. We are diligently trying to grow through discipleship. We are diligently learning how to go and serve the body. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 through 16, he says, don't let anyone look upon you because you are young. Now, I know he's talking about an age to Timothy, but I think that there are some people who are young Christians. We met a guy down in Texas that he was 50 years old and he got saved and he was just beating himself up because 50 years, I wasted 50 years. And I said, man, you got to just let go of the 50 years and just think about the next 50 that you got. You got to be looking at what you have today. Well, I got to read the whole Bible. I'm like, don't try to read the whole Bible. I mean, yeah, you want to read the Bible, but don't wait until you read all of it. Take what you have read. There's an observation. There's an application you can have today. The Bible says, don't just merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So at 50 years old, start learning to read that word and applying it right then. And so this is the encouragement that we have. And so Paul says, don't let people look down on you because you're a young Christian or because you're young in age, but we got to be devoted to the reading of scripture. We got to be devoted to the preaching and the teaching. In verse 15, he says, be diligent in these matters, give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your what? Progress. I want everyone to say progress. So there is a process that leads us to the progression of our faith. This is what Paul just says to Timothy. And not only does it progress our faith, but because we are growing and our faith is growing, other people around us will also, their faith will also grow. It's about growing our faith, not earning it. We cannot earn our salvation, but it's doing something with that gift of salvation. Paul again stresses this in the book of Romans, and he says, what we pour out in servitude, it's got to be the he that's within me, not me. And he says in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it's the scripture that Michelle read when she welcomed, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that... So that right there, we should be looking at and pausing and saying, okay, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, not so that we can just have it all for ourselves. No, it says, so that you may overflow, everyone say overflow, overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we serve, it should be what is overflowing from us, from the Holy Spirit. It should be the things that we've received from God that we are able to go and flow and pass on to other people. It says, we only know how to love because God loved us first. The Bible says to love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, then go and love other people. We have to make sure that we are getting from God first so that we can go and pour out to other people. So Paul is saying, let God's hope not only fill you, but allow it to be overflowing so that others may experience the good, the hope of God too. You know, when we stress here at Grace Church that we want every team member to sit one then serve one. We want them in here sitting and receiving a word from God, then going out and serving. If we do it and all we're doing is serving, we're not actually receiving anything. And this is the importance that we say, sit one, then serve one. We sit to receive the word. We sit to receive that seed. We sit to receive the hope. We sit to receive the love, the joy, the peace, the patience. We're sitting in there to receive it so that when we go out, it overflows to all the places in our family, in our community, and especially in here in our church. You see, he said he sowed the seed that he had. What seed are we going out and sowing? Is it the he that's within me, or all we're doing is just sowing out me? The second thing the sower needs is to be determined. Determined. We need to be determined to get vision. We need strategy in how to spread the good news of the gospel. It is good news, and we need to be able to share it with the world, showing how good it is in our life. Without vision, the Bible says, the people will perish. Without vision, the good soil turns into those rocky areas and has a bunch of thorns in it. And the question that keeps rolling over in my head when I read this parable over and over and over, why did the sower scatter seeds on those rocky places and amongst the thorns? Why would he do that? You know, we need to be determined to get a strategy in how to spread the seed. Now, my wife and I have three sons. Her dog is a male dog, so she's the only female in our house. And you would think with all of that manliness that she would not have such a love for glitter, but she has a really just a passion for glitter. She loves it. In fact, she probably right now has a pocket full of glitter, and she is determined that if she would glitter bomb you, just take that glitter and throw it in your face, that it will make you also have a passion for glitter. I try to let her know that I don't know that actually is the case, but she keeps trying. But if you think about it in this way, if we take the gospel message and just throw it in someone's face, is anyone going to appreciate it? If we take it and just shove it down someone's throat, Peter is preaching the gospel in Acts chapter 2, and he shares the gospel. He's sharing it in a way of talking about Jesus and using the Old Testament and using things to show that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And he has the response that every preacher, every person that we go out and evangelize, every single one wants. The people had a response of saying, "What shall we do? If Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior, what shall we do with this message?" And Peter responds in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 41. He says, "Repent," which means ask God to forgive you of your sin. "Be baptized." And he talked about the name of Jesus Christ. Is because of Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness of our sins. And then verse 40, it says, with many other words, he warned them, he pleaded with them. He was saying, do something with this gift. You've been saved because of Christ. Do something with it. Don't just take it and put it in your pocket. You see, I think the strategy of evangelism is getting people to see the truth. What is the truth? Being a good person does not get you to heaven. That's the truth. The truth of the matter is that we all fall short of the glory of God, and every single one of us need to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We need to ask him in to be our Lord, and we need to repent of our sins, and we need to help ask him to help us to live a life we cannot live on our own. We strive so hard to be a good person. That's not what gets us to heaven. We need to be a Christ-like person. And the strategy of evangelism is getting people to see that truth. Without Jesus, you have no hope. But we need to make sure that we say it and we deliver that message, that it is truth, but it is full of grace and it is full of mercy, because we are all saved by God's grace and mercy. If I go and just call down a sinner and say, "You're a sinner," and start throwing Bible verses at them, I don't know that that's actually going to cause them to repent of their sin. I think it's probably going to cause them to repel. And more likely, that they're going to feel trampled on and grow bitter and cold to the gospel, like I am towards glitter. We need vision. Let's just think about the sower, the farmer, right? Farmers, I find farmers to be just very resourceful and inventive and very strategic. Not people who waste time and waste energy and waste resources. Sowing is very hard work. It takes a lot of diligence and determination. You got to go out and gather the seed together. You got to go out and grow that seed to produce a big crop, and going out to sow that seed, be ready for the harvest. It takes a lot of work. That's why the Bible says the work of our hands is rewarding. We got people in this world right now, especially in America, that they don't want to work with their hands and they want to be rewarded. And that's the downfall that we have right now, I believe, in our country, is that people don't want to go out and work. It's the work of our hands that is rewarding. And so if you think about this from the farmer's perspective, all this hard work with gathering and growing and going, one would have to ask the question, why would he scatter the seed along the pathways? Why would he scatter the seed amongst the rocky places and amongst the thorns where he knew he was not going to get a good return for his investment? I believe maybe the farmer was seeking vision, seeing the environment, seeing the culture in that area. How is the water? And so he scattered that seed, and with the hope to see, hey, you know what? If it's able to scatter that seed on the rocky places, if it's able to grow on the rocky places, if it's able to grow amongst the thorns, just think what it could do if I did some work on the soil. And I would take up those rocky areas, and I would remove the rocks and I remove the thorns and turn it into a good soil. So maybe he was just trying to test the area to see, will this seed grow? You know, sometimes we have to be willing to try new things, but I think so many people are afraid to fail. And so we keep things in where we can control. I got to tell you, I have failed multiple times trying to spread the gospel. I might say the wrong verse. I might, most time than not, I usually come over pretty aggressive because I am so desperate for them to come to know the hope that I have. I want to have a breakthrough through that. I want them to have that freedom, and I become a little passionate towards those people, and I recognize I have to learn the way I spread that gospel, but I'm not going to be afraid to fail, because I will tell you, there was one time that I felt I needed to spread the gospel to this young person. I just got saved, but I thought, well, I don't have enough word in me. I don't know how to spread the gospel. I don't do that. And I went to go spread the gospel to him, and I chickened out. And before the next time I had a chance to talk to that young man, he died. I won't back down again. I'm going to learn from my failures, and I'm going to keep going out. I'm going to keep spreading that seed with the hope that God can do all things. Make fun of me if you want. I don't care if I stumble over my words. I might say the wrong verse, but that's okay. I'm saved by God's grace and mercy, and I want you to experience that same thing. So we have to be diligent. We have to be determined. The third is the sower needs to be dependent. And here is the praise. We can very much praise the fact that God's word remains the same. It's the same yesterday, as it is today, as it will be forever. His word is never going to change, ever. It stays the same. And we can praise God that his word is dependable. If we plant it, it is going to grow. The sower depended on the truth as he scattered the word, trusting that God was going to be the one that bring forth the growth, not him. But there's another kind of dependency that I want to talk about, and that's between you and I. We have to depend on each other. We have to lean on each other. We have to keep each other accountable. It takes a whole team of people to preach the good news of the gospel. If you just think about this, I depend on our red carpet team, and that's people who are on the welcoming team as they open the door and they greet you in with just a warm smile and make you feel very comfortable. I depend on the cafe team of people making coffee when you walk in and you smell the aroma of coffee and it just makes it smell like home. And then I depend on the ushering team as they open the door and they give you the programs and they help to seat you where you want to be seated, and they stretch you and saying, maybe you could sit by this family over here, or maybe you could sit in this place. And then the safety team, I'm depending on them to help us to all stay safe. I depend on the music team and the media team and the online team, all of us working together, the Kid City team, the 180 team, the Emerge team, all the different teams help prepare for this moment right now that I am able to preach the gospel to you. I'm dependent on you that you're going to hear this message and you're going to go out and you're going to spread it amongst at your job and in the community. You're going to go out into places I can't go into where your mission field is, and you're going to invite people to come back in. We're all working together for the common good, that God will be glorified and people will be saved. Do you know that right now in this service alone, in our second service with the Kid City and all the things happening, there are 55 to 60 people who are serving right now? That's a huge praise. I'd like to thank all those people that are serving. We are all dependent on each other. This is the importance of us coming in and serving. Jesus said he didn't come to be served, but he came to serve. If we are to be Christ-like, we need to be serving one another. Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 6 through 10. He says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered the seed, but it was God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. I want you to be able to be rewarded, but if you're not laboring, you're not serving, I don't know where that's going to, I don't know how you're going to get that reward. It says, they each, according to their own labor, was rewarded. For we are co-workers. We are co-dependent in God's service. Our job is to go out and show what the mighty works of salvation has done in our life, that we receive the hope and the glory of God, and we are to go and let it overflow into other places. So we are all working together to preach the good news of the gospel. There are some here who are very determined to work the field and plant the whole field. Others go out and they're diligently preparing that field. Others, they're going out and scattering the seed. Others are going out and watering the seed. Others are going out and pulling all the weeds. But 100%, if God is not involved with it, if he's not involved in the process, there's not going to be any progress. Me has to get out of the way and let he be king of all. So some plant it, some water it, but all are dependent on God to grow it. The sower, the fourth point, the sower needs to be desperate. So I don't know if you caught all that. It was a lot of work. Diligence, determination, dependent, desperate. What is the sower desperate for? He is desperate for the multiplication of the seed. He doesn't want to take this seed and just go plant it and get one seed back. His hope is that he plants this seed and it multiplies some 30, some 60, 100 times. He's desperate for this word to be rooted in you and I, so that it produces a harvest 100-fold of what was planted. And if that is his desperation, why would he plant it along the pathway and on the rocky places and amongst the thorns where he knows it's not going to grow? You know, Jesus' last statement was to us, was the very thing of desperation. And that is Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You see, Jesus is desperate for us to go into all the world to preach the good news of the gospel. Why is that? Because without it, people are going to hell. If you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if you have not asked him to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, if you've not had him come in to be your Savior of all, you are bound for hell. People who are not coming and are not coming to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, they are bound to hell. And there has to be a desperation for those people not to experience that. As I was studying this, there was a young man at the IMA conference that we had last September here. He shared about evangelism, and he has a video I want you to see, but he's actually coming here in this September for our Spark event. He's going to be the main speaker, and then following Saturday, we're going to have a training on evangelism. I love it. He's not a 1, 2, 3, here's how you do it. He comes in, understands the culture, then he says, take what you have, take your gifts, now go out and pray for someone. And after lunch, you're going to come back, and you're going to tell us someone at the grocery store, someone at the gas station, that you shared your testimony and you prayed for. And it's really challenging, and it's kind of in your face ministry, which I think would be very good for us. But here is a video of the desperation of sharing the gospel with people.
An atheist said one time, he's an atheist comedian, he was actually defending Christians, because at one of his shows, a man came up to him at the end of the show and he gave him a Bible and he said, hey, I really enjoyed your comedy tonight, you do a great job, I just want to let you know that Jesus loves you, something like that, gave him a Bible and left. And he says, you know, I'm probably not going to read the Bible, and I'm not interested in his faith at all. But something marked me with this guy. He was so sincere. The sincerity in his eyes, and it was a genuine compliment. It wasn't flattery. How many people can feel flattery? But they can also feel a genuine kindness. And then he went on to defend his evangelism tactic. He said, I mean, he's working through this. He's like, I mean, if you really believe that people are going to live and die and either spend eternity close to God or eternity separated from God, how much would you have to hate them to not tell them that Jesus loves them? He made an example. He said, if you're standing on a street corner and you see a bus coming down the road and you see a guy, they're not paying attention, they go to step in the road and then a bus is coming, how much would you have to hate them to just be like, this is going to be a bummer for them? No, he said, anybody with a fraction of a heart will pull them back. You don't even have to really love them. It's just the right thing to do. And I just love that, because how many know as Christians, it's just the right thing to do. Necessity is laid upon us to preach the gospel.
The necessity, the desperation has been laid upon us to preach the gospel, to go out into the areas. God has planted you in a place to draw people in to be able to hear what you have. Why do you believe? The hope that you have, the salvation that we have is Jesus Christ. He has planted you in those places. You know, I think what I love about this parable from the sower's perspective is his desperation to plant and spread the word of God along the pathway, along the rocky places, and amongst the thorns. Why would he spread it to those places? You see, because when I scatter the seed along the pathway, and I spread the seed along the rocky places, and I scatter the seed amongst the thorns, and I scatter the seed in the good soil, you know what it is? Same energy, same effort, it's the same hope. It's not in me, it's in that word. That word can penetrate through those rocky places and grow. That word can be in someone along the pathway and make a change in their life. That word can grow amongst the thorns and break through. They just need someone to come in and help have hope in that word. You see, I have a desperation to spread the word of God amongst those who just goes in one ear and it goes out the other. I have the same desperation and hope that when I preach the word of God, that there might be great joy, but there's no root, that we don't allow it to get rooted in to our hearts. I have the same joy to go and spread the gospel amongst those who are like thorns, and the worries and the fears and all the things that are distracting them and is choking out that word. Because you see, I have the same hope that it's not Ben that's going to make a change in that person. It's going to be God. So will you please close your eyes and bow your head? I just want you just to be looking in. Next week, we're going to be looking at the soil. What kind of soil is our heart? Last week, we recognized that it's what's on the inside that's going to be produced on the outside. But today is a message of hope. We scatter the seed amongst the pathway. We scatter the seed amongst those rocky areas. We scatter the seeds amongst those who are so busy, they're getting choked out that the word never actually sinks in because they're already thinking about the next thing they got to do. Father, I have hope in your word that it will not fail. I pray, God, that as it enters in our ears, that some of it takes root. Change people like you changed me along the pathway. You changed those rocky, stony areas of my heart. You show me things, those thorns I had to remove. You've turned me into the good soil. And I want to praise you, God, for people like Pastor Hal, who is willing to scatter seeds to a sinner like me. Thank you for the people in my life that have helped me hold accountable to keep my heart the good soil. So today, God, I want to give the opportunity for two different kinds of prayers today. One is for people that need to ask you to be their Lord and Savior. So if you have not ever asked Him to be your Lord and Savior, you just say, Jesus, into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Help me to live a life I cannot live on my own. See, the Bible says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, then we are saved. So if that is you today and it's the first time praying that prayer, I want you to please be bold and have the response like the people of Acts did. And they had a response. What must we do now? And they raised their hand. So if that is you, I'd like for you to raise your hand and be bold. Father, I thank you for the stirring within us, the calling that is being answered today in this service. That people today have come to know who you are as Lord and Savior. And we worship you for that. The second prayer is, maybe you accepted Jesus, that seed was planted, but the worries and the fears, the hurts and the pains have caused our hearts to become hard. Our busy schedules are, we don't even have time for this word to be rooted in because we're so busy with everything and it's choking it out. And if that is you today, you're recognizing that the seed is there, it's just not growing. And you want to make a change, I would like for you to raise your hand. Father, I thank you for the honesty in this room with people raising their hands. I ask you to hear their prayer. Draw them to you. As your word says, as we draw to you, you draw back. Stir within us the good word. Change our hearts to be the good soil that can produce. Help us to be diligent in our time of reading the word. Help us to be diligent in our prayers. Help us to be determined not to allow any distractions to come in that take away that diligence. God, I pray that you help us to depend on your word, to come to know your word, and to be able to stand upon the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. Christ, that we can depend on brothers and sisters, that we have people in this room that will be accountability partners, that spurs us on towards love and good deeds. And God, give us a desperation to take this word, plant it deep into our hearts, allow that hope to overflow with us, to people in our family, into our neighborhood. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thanks for watching this message today at graceweb.tv. If you're looking for previous messages or message series, you can find them by clicking the archive link on the message page of our website. If you need to connect with us, send us an email at gracecentral@graceweb.tv or send us an online connect card, which you'll find in the online forms page of the website. If you'd like to support the church financially, you can do so by clicking the give button, or you can text the word give to 618-414-4220. Thank you again for being a part of Grace Church.